Allow me to add my welcome to Suzanne's. My name's Pete. I'm one of the clergy team here at the church. So a massive welcome to you if it's your first time with us. And we're beginning today a new series in Mark's Gospel. We're going to spend the whole summer just in these first couple of chapters, going bit by bit, being introduced to Jesus Christ. And you'll see from the first line that Mark says that this is the good news about Jesus. And I wonder, as we begin this morning, what would be good news for you this week? How about last night? Last night, I don't know who it was, but someone will have won £11.7 million in the National Lottery. Imagine that was you. Maybe you've not checked your ticket yet. That'd be good news, wouldn't it? I mean, well, it might actually not be. Lots of people say that lots of money doesn't help. But anyway, maybe it'd be good news. Or how about today? England, fourth test in the series, fifth day of this test. Bit of a hill to climb, but could they clinch it back to a draw to maybe try and win the next test? Who knows? Maybe that'd be good news for you if they were on a winning streak. What about more seriously? Would good news to be for you this week if your test results that you've been waiting for came back clean? Or perhaps you were able to kick a habit or an addiction that you've struggled with for years. Wouldn't that be good news? Or to hear the words, "I love you," from someone, maybe someone who's passed away, or someone that you don't yet know, someone you'd love to have in your life, but don't yet, and you'd love to hear those words. Or on a really big scale, wouldn't it be good news if in our world we could end racism? Wouldn't it be good news if there was a cure for a disease like Alzheimer's? Wouldn't it be really good news if the Ukraine war came to an end this week? Wouldn't that be good news? Well, today in our Bible reading, we get to hear about some good news. Now, this passage is going to make a massive claim that Jesus is really good news and good news for everyone. Like I said, we're beginning a new series in Mark's Gospel. And Mark's Gospel is an account of Jesus' life. Gives us the stories of what happened to Jesus through his life. But it's not just there for us to be interested in. It's not just there for a sort of bit of intellectual excitement over history. No, as we get to read and hear about Jesus, we get to meet a person. A person who can change our lives for the better. But don't take my word for it. Let's dive in to this short, to these first eight verses. I've got 3 points this morning. Here's the first one. Jesus is good news. Verse 1 operates a bit like a subtitle. You know, imagine Mark's Gospel, subtitle, verse 1. Read it with me if you've got it open. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And good news, I think, is a bit of an understatement. You're kind of like, good, fine, average sort of news. That's not this. If you look back into the Greek language, the word that we translate as good news, it really means kind of joyous, momentous, huge, history-changing, world-changing type news. Something a bit like this. At 3 p.m. on the 8th of May in 1945, Winston Churchill came on the radio and he announced this, that the Germans had signed the act of unconditional surrender of all German land, sea, and air forces in Europe to the Allied Expeditionary Force. He concluded, "The German war is therefore at an end." Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear that on a radio, to be gathered round with your family, listening to that announcement? Years of hardship, of seeing family members and friends go off to war and not come back, to hear that that was all over. That's history-changing, world-changing, momentous news. And that's the kind of level of news, as we hear about it, that we have, Mark is claiming, in his gospel. Good news. And actually, the details of verse 1 press in on us how big and momentous the news of Jesus is. Even the first two words, the beginning, they echo the first words that our whole Bible starts with. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning. Mark is hinting to us that this gospel, this good news about Jesus, is world-changing, history-changing. He's saying it's going to be as big an event as God making the world. You know, the two biggest events in history, God making the world, Jesus coming. That is how big Mark's claim on Jesus is. And you might ask then, well, so what's so special about Jesus? What's going to make him history-changing, world-changing? Well, even in verse 1, we're told this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, Son of God, that sounds pretty important. Something to listen up to. Close affiliation with God, we need to kind of take note of that, and we'll look at that a bit more in our next point. But first, this idea of Messiah, or as the footnote little A in your Bible, says it means Christ, or anointed one. And this, you know, kind of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, it's not like some kind of funny surname, you know, Jesus Christ, Pete Winstone. No, it's a title, much more like King Charles. In fact, actually, the title Messiah, Christ, it means king, anointed one. In the Old Testament, kings were anointed with oil to show that they'd been chosen by God to be king. So Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the King. And in the Old Testament, this idea of a Messiah, all the way through the prophets in the Old Testament, kind of builds up and builds up to be the idea of a king coming who could change the whole world. A king who could kind of change all the mess in our world and sort it out. A king who could right every wrong. A king who could bring perfect peace, perfect harmony. A king who could change the world forever to give us what we really needed. And so Mark, in this first verse, this subtitle to his gospel, he is claiming that Jesus is this kind of king. That he's this kind of good news, momentous news for everyone. And so I think actually we probably need to change our this kind of first point, really. It's not just good news. Jesus is the best news. And obviously this is a big claim. And Jesus is going to be needing to be a pretty powerful person if he's going to change the whole world. And our politicians, they promise much on being able to change the world, but often deliver little. It's going to need to be better than one of our politicians. Well, thankfully, Mark tells us, Jesus is not just any ordinary man. Jesus is the best news because, point two, Jesus is God. And as we kind of go into the rest of our verses 2-8, it's maybe slightly surprising to us that we shift away from Jesus onto a man called John the Baptist. You know, you might be expecting, like, come on, let's get on to the miracles. Let's get on to what Jesus is doing. But we turn to John the Baptist. And that's because actually, when anyone really important turns up, there's always a bit of a warm-up act. There's always someone who kind of prepares the way. Sarah and I and our family, we moved from London about a year ago. And one of the quite fun things about living in London is every now and again, you'd see one of these, right? You'd get this kind of series of police motorcycles. They'd come along and they'd stop the traffic with their big loud whistles and they'd have guns holstered on their side. It would be very exciting. And you'd be kind of waiting around, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, 30 seconds later, this big convoy of posh cars would roll through. And maybe, just maybe, if you were lucky, you'd get a little glimpse of maybe the Prime Minister or the Queen or some kind of foreign dignitary. It was all quite exciting. And so when you saw, it would look a bit like this maybe, and when you saw these motorcycles coming along, you'd know that someone was important. They were preparing the way for someone important. Well, with John, it's a bit like this. He prepares the way for Jesus. When you see John the Baptist coming, you know someone really important is on the way. And this is actually exactly what God said would happen. That's why we have these quotes from Isaiah in verses 2 and 3. Let me read from them again. Verse 2. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. The promise here is that before God's Messiah, God's special king, someone would rightly come and kind of warm up at the act, you know, be the warm-up act, be the one preparing the way. And they'd prepare people for Jesus by proclaiming a message in the wilderness. And so that's exactly what happens. Verse 4, John the Baptist comes. It says, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, tick, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, preaching, proclaiming, being a voice, calling out, tick. John's exactly what we're expecting. And the details of this verse tell us something of who is coming. Verse 2, it's a quote from Malachi chapter 1. And what you can't tell from here, but if you go back and read Malachi chapter 3, the person having their way prepared for them in Malachi chapter 3 is God himself. And then in verse 3, this one's a bit easier. Look, who is having the way prepared for them, according to verse 3? A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And the Lord in Isaiah undoubtedly is God. God himself. There are other details that we don't quite have time for. But if you're in any doubt, you can skip back to verse 1. See, the beginning of the good news about Jesus. Names have meanings. My name Pete means rock. I think this is right. Suzanne, who's leading our service today, her name means graceful lily. So that's very nice, isn't it? It's very nice. Very suits Suzanne, I think. The name Jesus means God saves. Mark is giving us lots of hints. He's trying to show us that who he's claiming Jesus to be is God himself. He wants us to be absolutely sure about that. That as this person comes, this good news is because God is coming to earth. He's capable. God is capable with all the power that he has. He's able to change the world. And if you're feeling skeptical, you're going to need to read on in Mark's gospel, right? Going to need to read on to find out, okay, is this really true about Jesus? Does he match up to what Mark is claiming about him? So come back, keep coming through the summer. Go home, read the rest of Mark's gospel. You could probably do it in half an hour. But one of the other questions we might be asking is not just, does this match up? But if Jesus is God, and he's come to bring the best news, what on earth is he coming to do? Well, that's our third point. Jesus is the best news because Jesus is God, who, point three, has come to save. God has come to save. And saving, like, that's kind of normal for that to be good news, right? You know, the lifeguard, they save someone from drowning. Good news. The fireman, they save someone from burning. Good news. The doctor saves you from keeling over and dying. Good news. And so God coming, saving, it's good news. But what's he coming to save from? Well, we've already seen that Jesus' name means God saves. And in here we have clues as to what God is coming to save us from. And we get it in what John is doing as he prepares the way. Okay, John comes and baptizes people. And now baptism. We've got a baptistry at the back here, so there's you walk over it every week before as you walk in. But if you lift up the floorboards, there's a whole pool underneath. And when we joyfully have a baptismal service, they put fill it full of water that they then warm up nicely. And then we dunk people, literally head to foot, all the way in, dunk, get totally wet, and up. And baptism, one of the big things it's doing is a picture of being washed. Washed clean. But you're not being saved from body odour. You're not being saved from being a bit dirty on the outside. The picture of baptism is about being saved from and washed clean from sin. And we see it in verse 4. Read with me. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Verse 5, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. What God is coming to save people from, what this picture of baptism is showing us, is that people can be washed clean from sin. And actually, that's the big storyline in the Bible, is that our world needs saving from sin. Sin, turning away from God, trying to live a life without him. That's the world's biggest problem. And when you boil down to it, all the world, all the kind of the things that we experience that are difficult and hurtful and troubling, in one way or another, they all lead to sin. You know, the Ukraine war. What's at the heart of the Ukraine war? What is the big problem? It's sin. People trying to live without God, turning away from him. And Jesus is God who's come into our world to do something about it, to save people from this huge problem. He's someone who can wash us clean, but he's not going to wash us clean with water. Look at the end of verse 8. What's he going to wash us clean with? John says, I baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he's not just going to wash us clean. So he's not going to wash us clean with water. He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. He's going to wash us from the inside out. He's going to turn our sin problem and clean us from it. And as you read on in Mark's Gospel, you can read on how Jesus will change people and how ultimately he saves people by dying on a cross, by paying the price for the punishment for sin, for dying in our place. All because he loves us. All because he cares about us. All because he wants to save us. See, Jesus is the best news because he is God who has come to save people from their sin. And so whether you are having a terrible day or a brilliant day today on the 23rd of July 2023, the best news for you and I is right here at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. The best news for you and I is that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. See, Jesus is the best news. And if you're feeling, like I said earlier, a bit sceptical about that, you know, it is a big claim, right? That as Jesus comes along, he can genuinely change our world. That's the claim of the Bible. That's the claim of Mark's Gospel. That as he comes, as he sorts out sin, he will one day really genuinely change our world forever. Bring eternal life to people. Bring about perfect peace and perfect harmony as God's King, God's Messiah. It's a massive claim. And so please do, as I said, read on. If you're not so sceptical, then I wonder if the thing that we need to do, if you're not so sceptical, is realise just how top drawer this news is. Often we can be over-familiar with the gospel. We're like, oh yeah, Mark's gospel, I know that. Yeah, Jesus, he's good news, yeah, yeah. But actually, this is genuinely the best news for you and I. It's the best news for our children. It's the best news for our friends and family. It's the best news for the people that we see at work. The people that we exercise next to at the gym, if that's you. The people we see at the school gate. The people who live on our street. Jesus is the best news for everyone. He's worth basing our whole lives on. He's worth putting as our top priority because he is the best news. He's worth our time, our money, and our service. He's worth doing things like giving our money to this church building project in Central Asia so that more people can hear of this best news. He's so worth it. Jesus is the best news that you and I and the world really need. Let me pray that we would believe it. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have stepped into our world in the Lord Jesus, that you've come to bring us hope, you've come to save us from our sins. Thank you that this is the world, how the world can be sorted out. And we pray that you'd help us to trust that, to believe it, to know that it is the best news for us and everybody else around us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.